Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production from iHeartRadio. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with iHeartRadio, and I love all things tech. And it is time for another classic episode of Tech Stuff, this one originally published on August 26th, 2013. It is titled, Tech Stuff Gets Tattooed and Pierced. Now, I'm only one of those things, but between the time we recorded that show and now, I got another tattoo. So I've got multiple. But yeah, let's go back and listen to this classic episode about tattoos and piercings. Speaking of regular old tattoos, in the interest of full disclosure, I've got two of them. So I can actually talk about the physical experience of receiving a tattoo, as well as the actual science and technology that goes into producing a tattoo.
Oh, I have zero tattoos while we're talking about it. But okay. My ears are pierced. Does that help?
Hardcore. That's body modification. I'm actually also, interest of full disclosure, I'm debating getting a ear pierced.
Just one? Yeah.
Just one.
Okay.
Just one. I don't know that it's going to happen too, because I keep thinking I might be too old for that. So let's talk about tattoos. That's a good starting point, right? I mean, ear piercing is probably the lowest on the scale because it's the most socially accepted form of body modification in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one in the United States that ear piercing is that's pretty
benign.
Yeah, very common. So it's no one would blink an eye, really, depending upon the type of piercing. I mean, there are more extreme piercings that some people would look at and go, wow, that's pretty extreme. But it's still kind of on the
tame end.
Yeah, at least as far as our society is concerned, right?
Right.
But tattoos are one of those things that we have a lot of information about how they happen.
Yes, and they are getting more common. According to a 2012 Harris poll, 21% of American adults have one, including 38% of people between the ages of 30 and 39.
Yeah, I fall into that category.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm always thinking about what my next one's going to be. By the way, there's a common saying that tattoos are addictive. That is kind of, well, it's not physiologically true,
right?
But psychologically, it is kind of true, because after you take the plunge the first time, you think, I kind of want more. So clearly when we're talking about tattoos in this podcast, we're really going to be focusing on the way that modern tattoos happen. But it, you know, it behooves us to talk about tattooing has a pretty long history.
Yeah. Recent documentation from the Siberian Times reported that some of the permafrost preserved like ice princesses and stuff like that have shown from, you know, 5th century BCE have shown tattoos much like modern ones. That particular article, strangely enough, didn't link out to any scholarly institutions or reporting. So I'm
take
a little
it
bit
with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
Sure.
But still.
Well, yeah, and then there have been reports of you know, tattoos being found on ancient Egyptian mummies from about 2000 BCE. And then, of course, the word tattoo we get from a Tahitian word, which essentially means to mark, which makes sense. And that that word started to appear in English writing right around the time that old James Cook was exploring the South Pacific. So about 1769. Now, tattoos are all done in essentially the same way, which involves piercing the skin and inserting some ink. But the tattoo machine is a little more recent. That comes to us from the late 1800s, so late 19th century.
And that was a improvement by one Samuel O'Reilly on a machine patented by Thomas Edison.
Yes, Thomas Edison's machine was not meant to tattoo. It was meant to engrave metal, and it was meant to create stencils. And it was called an electric pen, also known as the autographic printer. And that was something that was invented right around 1875 or so. But what O'Reilly said was, you know, I'm a tattoo artist. He actually had been a tattoo artist in New York. He was an Irish immigrant, came to New York sometime in the 1870s, set up shop, saw the electric pen by Thomas Edison. And it's interesting because that device that Thomas Edison made never really became popular for what it was designed to do. There were other technologies that came along shortly thereafter that made it more or less obsolete.
Right. And also, you know, for hand engraving, it's a lot more efficient to machine engrave than it is to hand engrave.
Right. So O'Reilly takes a look at this and says, wait a minute, though, this thing that maybe isn't so great for what it was meant to do might do something else if I just make a few modifications.
Yeah, if I just change the tube system to accommodate ink.
Yep.
And modify the oscillating unit to drive a needle rather than a, I suppose it was a needle to begin with.
Right, right. But it was a different style needle.
Yes.
Like the needle that was in the electric pen, you would not want to touch your skin because it was enormous.
It was huge and a little bit scary.
Yeah, it was. Yes, certainly. And it's funny, if you want to actually take a look at the patent was issued in 1891 on December 8th, because it's on the patent application. You can actually look up patents for free online.
Mm-hmm.
Google has a very good patent search, and this one comes right up if you do a patent search in Google. It's patent number 464801, and the name of it is Tattooing Machine.
Both that and Edison's machine, the patents for them still exist, and the illustrations are very fancy and pretty.
Yes.
I've seen some really slapdash patent illustrations in my day, but these are top-notch.
There's some ones for some particularly high-tech gadgets that when you look at them, you think, was someone drunk when they drew this? And it just shows that, you know, engineers and artists don't always combine into one person.
Right.
At any rate, so you look at this patent, it's very interesting. It does have that ink reservoir, and it's got the ability to channel ink down to this needle. This needle, by the way, is solid. It's not like a hollow needle or anything.
Right. I think the idea is that the needle is contained within a small chamber that holds the ink, and then when the needle pushes down out through that chamber, it
takes
a drop of the ink
with
it. Yeah.
Right. And it pierces the skin and deposits the ink underneath,
specifically in the dermis, because you're going underneath the epidermis, which sheds and cycles so frequently that if you put it in the epidermis, it would stick around for not very long at all. Certainly not a lifetime.
Like if you have ever had either, you know, well, a temporary tattoo will just wash off eventually, but if you were to get like a henna tattoo, something that stains the skin, then you know that eventually that skin, no matter how careful you are, that design's going to go away because you will shed that skin. You know, that skin will end up flaking off of you. It becomes dust, actually. That's what a lot of the dust in our world is. It's
human
dead skin cells.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the dust that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, that's pretty much from your body. Happy thought. Anyway, the tattoo is permanent because it is actually staining the dermis, as you said, not the epidermis. So we're actually looking at a tattoo through the epidermis. Think of the epidermis as kind of like a window. And the dermis is where you're actually seeing the design imprinted. And your typical tattoo needle, according to our article on howstuffworks.com, there's a, you know, how tattoos work. We actually have this article. The needle can move between 50 and 3,000 times per minute. Now, that's actually the same frequency as the electric pen that Thomas Edison created. So I suspect that most needles probably move significantly faster than 50 times per minute, because that would be, well, you'd have essentially once a second. So think about that. 1/1,000, 2/1,000. You'd be like, ow! Ow! Stop it!
I suppose depending upon the type of work being done.
Yes.
I am not a tattoo professional. That would be a really interesting question to ask a tattoo professional.
Outlining versus shading is very different.
Right.
I can say from experience, both on the performance end, I can't say that from experience, but from the recipient end, I sure as heck can tell you there's a world of difference in the pain levels that you experience from outlining versus shading.
Yeah.
It's also interesting, you know, your experience of pain will depend upon several things, like your own threshold of pain, obviously. Mine's actually pretty high, but it also depends on where you get the tattoo. Now, there's certain surfaces where, you know, it's nice and fleshy and you're not going to, you might feel like kind of a buzzing sensation and maybe some tingling, but it's not terribly painful. And then there are other areas where it feels like someone's really pinching you pretty hard, or maybe you're getting like a bit of a bee sting.
I've heard that anything close to the bone
is very difficult. I've got one on my left shoulder blade, and any time it got to the point where it was close to the actual bone was significantly more painful than the rest of the tattoo. And I've also got one on my left arm, and anything on the inside of the arm was more painful than the outside. But yeah, so you've got, you know, with your basic tattoo gun, your tattoo machine, you've got the unit that the tattoo artist holds in his or her hand, which has a tube that houses the needle. It's got the ink ink chamber, or a little ink thing will actually screw into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's usually a foot pedal control that controls the depth of the needle, so that the tattoo artist can be very precise when actually putting the tattoo onto your
mm-hmm.
skin.
It'll be more or less a millimeter, depending on, you know, who you are and where it is.
Yeah.
And,
yep. Yeah. But about a millimeter is a pretty good estimation.
And it's the machine itself is brilliantly simple.
Yes.
It's based on it's kind of similar to what a sewing machine is, if that metaphor doesn't
totally skeeve you out.
Completely skeeve you out.
I'm actually perfectly fine with that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's because I've had a couple of tattoos and needles don't typically bother me. But I do understand there are people who have real psychological issues with anything that has to do with needles.
With needles, sure.
Yeah, totally understand that.
But so the gun contains a circuit that runs through an electromagnet.
Mm-hmm.
And that circuit is opened and closed via the vibrations of a spring-loaded a reed or
flange.
Yeah. And those vibrations are controlled by a weight, like a pendulum, that's placed along that flange.
Oh,
I
gotcha.
Sure.
Interesting.
Now, the vibrations are caused by cycling power through the electromagnet.
Right.
So
you got the fluctuating magnetic field, and that's going to start causing some vibration. And,
uh-huh.
Interesting.
And the reed is connected at the top to the base of the needle, and
right.
therefore the vibrations of it push the needle up and down, and it makes it very, very simple to use. The cycle is self-perpetuating until you cut off the electricity supply
gotcha.
Entirely. And
so you have this simple reciprocating motion, and
mm-hmm.
that's really all there is
and
to it.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. It is. So really the complexity here comes in the actual execution of making a tattoo. And that's where the artistry and skill really comes in, because operating the machinery is pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's the handling it properly and making sure you're doing not only a wonderful artistic job, but that you're doing it safely.
Right. And the safety issue is one of those, one of the things that I do know very, very well about tattoo parlors is that if it does not smell like a hospital, like a really good, clean hospital,
get ye gone.
Get out.
Yeah.
Because, yes.
Yeah. So for any of you guys out there who are considering tattoos, make sure you do your research, check in and make certain that all the different, whatever tattoo parlor you're looking at is on the up and up, that they follow very strict sterilization processes, that they are very careful to have one-use items, and then they discard them and they don't ever use them again. Some parts of the tattoo machine are reusable, and that's perfectly fine. And we'll talk about those. But even those, you make sure they have like an autoclave.
An autoclave,
so
yes.
They are sterilizing their equipment.
Because you want to heat things to either 250 or 270 degrees.
Depending on
the pressure and the time length that you're using.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about the autoclave specifically in just a second to kind of explain what that is for those of you who don't know. But the whole purpose here is to kill off any kind of bacteria or other organism that could cause infection or disease. And
because like we said, your what a tattoo is a, you know, a whole bunch of little punctures in your skin.
Yeah.
Punctures can get infected. It's an open wound.
Yeah. Yeah. Any kind of,
it heals up.
Right.
But
yeah, any kind of wound has the potential to get infected. So, it's very important that you find a place that is reputable and clean. Hey guys, it's Jonathan from 2020. While you're getting inked and pierced and everything, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the basic parts of this tattoo, that you've got the sterilized needle, and those are one use. Every time you go to a tattoo parlor, if you're getting a tattoo, the needles they have should be one use needles in sterilized packets that they should open
right in front of you. Right before they start their work.
Right. Those packets should remain sealed until they're ready to do work. So they open it up and they put in the needle into the machine, which has already been cleaned in the autoclave, and I'll get to that in a second. Other things that need to be single use include ink, ink cups, gloves. All of this kind of stuff needs to be one use in sterile packaging to minimize the risk of any kind of contamination. So make sure, and it's perfectly fine to ask questions. Any reputable tattoo artist
won't
will
mind
welcome
at all.
Them.
Yeah. Right.
Because it shows that you have done your research and that you're serious about it. And again, if they're reputable, they'll have no problem answering your questions, being able to show you what it is they do to stay.
If they give you grief about it, get out of there.
Yeah, don't go there. Go somewhere else.
Yeah.
The autoclave is actually, think of it as like a machine that generates lots of heat, pressure, and steam. Those are essentially the three components there. And it's often used autoclaves are used in medical facilities to clean medical equipment. So the way it works is you would put stuff in a little pouch. Each piece of the equipment would get its own little pouch. This equipment would be things like the needle bar and the tube of the machine. So these would be the bits that would be used again and again. They go into their little pouches. Each pouch has a little indicator.
Strip on the outside for when everything is has been heated to the correct temperature that indicates
right
that it's sterile.
Yeah, exactly. It says essentially that sticker changes color and it tells you, well, it's not a sticker, but the indicator changes color and it tells you everything in here is dead, yo. And so, but yeah, like you said, it can heat. Depending upon the settings, the general rule of thumb is 250 degrees Fahrenheit or 121 degrees Celsius for 10 pounds of pressure for 30 minutes, or 270 degrees Fahrenheit or 132 Celsius at 15 pounds of pressure for 15 minutes. That is the standard operating procedure. The tattoo parlor should be following one of those two with its autoclave. And there you go. That is your standard approach to sterilize the reusable equipment. So remember, ask those questions, make sure you do your research, and if everything's on the up and up, then enjoy your painful experience. It's really not that bad depending upon where you get it.
Right.
And how big the tattoo is.
And your personal tolerance and the skill of the of the artist.
Now, I had an incredible tattoo artist who did both, the same guy did both my tattoos. And he was not only really skilled at creating beautiful designs, he also really minimized all the discomfort. I mean, there was some, especially around the shoulder blade area, but it was nothing too intense. Like, it was nothing more intense than, a minor bee sting.
Right.
So assuming you're not allergic to bees and you've experienced a bee sting and it wasn't a big deal, that's pretty much the worst it got for me personally.
Right. I happen to be allergic to bees.
Well, then see, for you, compare it to a bee sting and you'd say, I would die. That's not what I mean.
Other fun questions to ask your tattoo artists are what kind of inks they use. Just as an interesting note, sometimes inks contain metallic pigments. And if you ever have to go in for an MRI after getting a tattoo with a metallic pigment, it's not going to fly out of your body Magneto style or anything like that.
Yeah. And it's also good just to make sure that, if you have any known allergies, that's obviously something else you need to discuss, because there's a possibility that either the ink itself could contain something that you were allergic to, which could be a problem, or that some of the other materials, like, cause they're supposed to, the whole process before they tattoo you, they have to
clean and shave
the area and
soap,
disinfect
right,
it.
Yeah, disinfect.
Right. So anything like that, you just want to make sure that you're not going to come into contact with something that's going to give you a bad reaction.
Yes.
And I had one other kind of cool thing. Well, first of all, if you're feeling in a goofy mood, we do have a fake article on How Stuff Works about tattoos. One of our few, haven't done it every year, but occasionally How Stuff Works has made an April Fool's article on How Stuff Works. And we have one about how animated tattoos work, which is all about electronic tattoos that are, it's like electronic devices, right?
Right. The story goes that, and there's an actual patent for a subdermal LCD screen out there that exists in the real world,
right.
That has never, nothing ever really came of it, I think. But, the article talks about a little subdermal LCD that's connected to a little magnetic, battery.
Right.
And a small controller. And
yeah, so that you would be able to have a tattoo that would actually be like showing video and stuff, or have an animation on it that we could run in a loop. Now, there are obviously some barriers to that. The big one being that the body tends to not like stuff introduced to it. And we're going to talk more about that when we get into the second half, when we start talking about some interesting implants, mm-hmm. that there are dangers of a body rejecting certain materials. And you can't really predict which ones it's going to reject and which ones it's not. There's some that have a lower percentage of rejection.
And even some people's immune systems work differently.
Right.
So it's kind of a toss-up.
And it can change depending upon your activity level, too. I mean, if you get an implant in an area that gets a lot of agitation, then that can increase the odds of a rejection, that kind of thing. But we'll get into that in the second half. However, there is a different kind of animated tattoo. It's not really – the tattoo itself is not animated. So it's a misnomer, really. But there was a guy – who goes by the handle, the tattoo handle of Carl, K-A-R-L. Each of those letters is capitalized with a period after it.
Sure, like you do.
But Carl, in Paris, American as far as I can tell, or maybe Canadian, North American at any rate, he's a tattoo artist working in Paris, created what he calls the first animated tattoo. And I even have a date for you, June 16th, 2011, the first animated tattoo. Not really an animated tattoo. It's a tattoo that has...
What was it, like a flip book?
Yeah. He actually got 40 guys and tattooed a stick figure on each of them doing something slightly different and then had them run in a circle. And then... No, it's not... That would also be awesome. I don't know where you would be able to convince 40 guys to do that. I am sure that you could, though. I've seen a lot of crazy tattoos out there. No, what it was a QR code. So he had a guy have a tattoo with a QR code incorporated in it. Now, QR codes, for those of you who don't remember or haven't seen one in a while, they were big for a little bit, but then they kind of fell out of favor.
It was a marketing gimmick. I feel like it was overpromoted is the problem. It was a fine technology, but the way that Wi-Fi wound up happening, I don't think that it was as necessary as people thought that it was going
to
be.
And there's a lot more work in image recognition, there's a lot more work now where software can recognize things without there having to be some sort of established pattern there.
Right.
But essentially it is kind of like the next generation of the barcode. It was those blocky pictures if you've ever seen them, they're a square that have little black squares.
Like a Rorschach test kind of, sort of.
Yeah, except it's all blocky. It's all hard edges.
Yeah, yeah.
But
pixelated Rorschach test.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. And so this was incorporated in the tattoo. And in fact, they didn't know if it was going to work this guy's getting tattooed and they have no idea if it's going to work or not because they don't know. You know, it takes precision, again, because the digital camera sensor has to take a image of this and then the software has to analyze it and interpret that as... information in some way. And if the tattoo artist had made a block a little too big or a little too small, it wouldn't
have registered.
Yeah, it wouldn't coordinate with that information, right? So in this case, what the QR code did was it prompted the smartphone to then go to YouTube and pull up a video of an animated version of the tattoo design singing opera. Yeah. It's a little bitty round-headed guy with like a little top hat and a big handlebar mustache singing opera in the middle of this tattoo. And then that's what the tattoo was.
I mean, I've seen some aesthetic barcodes on people. You know,
Hitman style, like base of the skull.
Hitman, or, you know, I think there's probably a lot of science fiction that I'm forgetting that includes something like this.
Right. But there's probably like some sort of 12 Monkeys type thing.
Yeah,
there's
totally an episode of Reboot, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that show I don't watch.
That show that you don't. Right, yeah.
Jonathan from 2020 again. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll return in just a moment.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Running a business is no cakewalk.
There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Rosie, somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned. It feels so good.
It does. And like always, we'll be here every week covering the wide world of TV, movies, comics, and geek culture.
That's right. We'll be talking about Batman, heroes of that stature, and of course, we'll be inviting our friends in the industry to come geek out with us and share stories. We'll hear from TV writers, from actors, comics creators, pop culture critics, and more.
Nothing is off the table, because geek culture is pop culture, and we can't wait to share our love of it all with you every single week.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, that's like the big tattoo thing, right? We wanted to cover that pretty extensively because that's one of those that has the really cool toy, if you want to put it that way, the piece of technology.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other things we can talk about. Obviously, the other basic one we've already mentioned, piercing. So whether it's your ear or some other part of your body, piercing, now, of course, that involves creating a hole, which jewelry will then pass through. So piercing usually means that you're seeing the ends of a piece of jewelry, right? Whether it's like a barbell or if it's a stud or a hoop or whatever, you're seeing the exterior part. That's,
oh, right.
That's the part that's on display.
Yes. There's another form of piercing. What's it called? Pocketing?
Oh, yeah. Pocketing, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But pocketing's kind of, they call it anti-piercing. And the reason why they call it anti-piercing is that pocketing involves creating pockets of skin. This is where I start getting a little creepy crawly. Like I said, my tolerance level is probably fairly normal when it comes to body
getting
modification.
Totally,
like
normal, squicked out by,
normal in the sense of what the society norms are. I don't judge anyone who's gone through and gotten body modification, because whatever you want to do to assert your identity,
that's awesome.
As long as you're not hurting anyone else, I'm totally for it. It's just that if I look at it, I might go, ooh, that looks like that must be uncomfortable. But pocketing, essentially what that means is you create these pockets in the skin surgically. You actually cut open and create surgical pockets, which I'm guessing at some point need to be lined with something to keep it from being just an open wound. But the jewelry is inserted, the ends of the jewelry are inserted in either pocket. So think of two pockets that are facing one another. And then the jewelry, the end of it fits in one and the other end fits in the other. And so the middle of the jewelry is exposed as opposed to the ends. The ends of the jewelry are inside the pocket, so they are out of view. And this can be done in lots of ways. Like if you make really deep pockets, you can make this kind of super cool but very creepy effect of the skin being pulled apart because you're seeing these like ribs of metal.
Sure.
I saw it in one guy's arm where he had done the inside of his forearm where he had these deep pockets. So, you know, maybe the last
I don't know, quarter inch or so of the jewelry was under the skin and the rest was exposed. The middle part was exposed. Now, piercing, of course, that's where you just have the hole that the metal or whatever, the jewelry fits through, mm-hmm. and the ends are on display.
And that's, again, a not at all a new thing. I know that records of nostril piercing go back as far as 4,000 years in the Middle East, and that both ear and nostril piercing are mentioned in the Bible.
So. Yeah, these are ancient forms of expression, identity, sometimes
it's religion.
Sometimes it's religious, sometimes it's a tribal identification. I mean, this is something, you know, the way of adorning ourselves. I mean, that's something that goes back to prehistoric times. So now, obviously, with piercing, you have several of the same concerns that you do with tattooing. You're talking about creating essentially
creating a wound in yourself.
Yeah.
And so you want all the equipment and the person delivering the equipment unto you to be as sterile as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
A.K.A. totes sterile.
Yeah. So, I know there are a lot of piercing, like key, or there used to be. I don't know if there still are, but I remember when I was growing up, there were a lot of the little places in the mall.
Like piercing pagoda or like at a Claire's or whatever.
Yeah, like a little kiosk, and they would have the little piercing gun and stuff. Mm-hmm. Totally not a good idea, because that's a recipe for disaster if you don't know how they are sterilizing their equipment.
Again, if anything that's coming into contact with you, if they have an autoclave in the back and anything that's coming into contact with you is just being opened in front of your face,
then that's
a pretty good sign.
Pretty good sign. But I would always, I mean, like every person I have ever talked to who is into any level of body modification, whether it's someone who just enjoys piercings or it's someone who enjoys some of the things that, again, that I would think of as more extreme, they all say, go to a
professional parlor.
Yeah, piercing parlor, a place mm-hmm. where that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there's one near my home, which is where I would go and go on if I go and do it. But
I did get my ears pierced when I was like 12 or something like that at like a Claire's.
Yeah,
a mall.
Yeah.
But and I have never, they've never been infected. It's always been fine.
Sure, sure. But, no, it's not like, yeah, we don't want to say that if you have had this done that you're in terrible danger. You're living on borrowed time. We just mean that the you know, if you're considering this kind of stuff, these are the places that are going to be traditionally
the most safe.
Yes, the most safe. So again, same thing. You ask questions when you get there. You ask them how they handle their equipment, which pieces of their equipment are reusable versus one use only. How do they take care of things after it's all done? You know, and it's good to ask questions. It's all, whenever your safety and health are concerned, ask questions. Hey there, guys. Hope you enjoyed that classic episode of Tech Stuff. If you have suggestions for future topics I should cover on the show, please reach out on Twitter or Facebook. The handle at both of those is TechStuffHSW, and I'll talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is an iHeartRadio production. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, what's good?
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.